Welcome to the Jungle. We start hour number two. Breaking news involving PodCraft, which I will update you on in one moment. Quick reminder, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, an update on that story coming up momentarily. Ben Golliver will be joining us later on this hour. Tony Loughman, next hour. I was unable to get into the Lakers' great comeback last night because of the breaking Bob Kraft news, which I will have for you the update in a minute. Ira called in at the end of last hour. It was a rather awkward phone call. Did not go very well, not for him, not for me, not for anybody. Certainly not for those of you who heard it. At PC Brent 1 tweets, I wish Ira would disappear. At Steven ABQ tweets, hey Ira, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but Jim is not reading about you on Twitter. That's true. I'm not. At Bleeds Iron tweets, thanks for taking Ira calls. He makes the show better. Signed, nobody. All right, back to the story of the day. This is an AP account right here. Bob Kraft is being charged with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution after police said Friday that he was twice videotaped paying for and receiving sex at an illicit massage parlor. Police in Jupiter, Florida, told reporters Friday that the 77-year-old Kraft has not been arrested. A warrant will be issued and his attorneys will be notified. The charge comes amid a widespread crackdown on sex trafficking in the area surrounding Palm Beach County. About 200 arrest warrants have been issued in recent days. More are expected. The report continues. Police said they planted undercover cameras in targeted massage parlors and videotaped the interactions between men and the female employees. In a statement, a spokesperson for Kraft said, quote, they categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity because it is a judicial matter. We will not be commenting further, end quote. Of course, the Patriots won the Super Bowl earlier this month in Atlanta. Jupiter Police Chief Daniel Kerr said that he was shocked to learn that Kraft was paying for sex inside a strip mall massage parlor. Kraft's wife, Myra, died in 2011. He had been dating a 39-year-old actress, Ricky Noel Landers, since 2012. The NFL did not immediately respond to a message Friday seeking comment. Bob Kraft is having a really bad day. A really, really bad day. And it looks really bad. Listen, I understand that rich folks, like at the end of that hour, a caller said, you know what's going to happen, Rome? That videotape, that so-called videotape, it's going to disappear. And this thing's going to go away. I understand why a lot of you feel that way. Because rich folks do have a history of getting out of things. And maybe this isn't what it appears. And maybe this rich guy will get out of this. That said, you never want to be charged with multiple counts of solicitation or have your name anywhere near the phrase human trafficking. That's a really bad day. So it may not be what it appears as it relates to Kraft. And maybe these charges don't stick. Or maybe they do, and maybe it's exactly as it appears. But I know this. You do not want to be charged with multiple counts of solicitation, and you do not want your name in the same area code as the phrase human trafficking. And he has. 1-800-636-8686. I'm trying to be very responsible, and I keep mentioning that phrase, human trafficking. This is why if you're looking for me to come in here with a bunch of that's two for me drops, you're not going to get it. This is a really serious issue. Really serious issue. Let's go to Maine. Tim in Maine. We'll take some telephone calls. It's good to have you on the show, Tim. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, first time. calling, Romy. I just want to throw out there, it's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Thanks, Jim, very much.
Let me just start real quick, boss. I really respect how you're coming out and you calmly just reporting the facts. You're not jumping to any conclusions. But as a lifelong Pats fan, let me tell you this. I fought with every Patriots hater saying Spygate and dumping all the facts about that. Okay, I'll give you it. I'm still going to stick behind you. Then you start coming out with finding out that you're covering up for a serial killer in Aaron Hernandez and buying him a flop house. That makes you a pretty dirty dude. I'm trying not to get heated, Romy, but let me just get to you real quick. If you're going to start doing things like human trafficking, not only should you not be allowed to be in the NFL, not only should you own a franchise, not only should you own a business that is making you millions upon millions upon millions a year, not only should you not be able to breathe and walk on this earth. You might say it's dramatic, but I tell you this, boss man, if he was around me, I'd tell it to his face. He's a bum. If it's true, if it's not allegedly involved and allegedly caught on video, get this man out of the NFL. Give him some nice, sweet silver bracelets. Tighten him up and twist him a little bit and send his ass to the slammer. I'm out.
All right, Tim. Thank you very much. All right. Now, let's just take a deep breath for a minute, all right? I can respect a Patriot fan saying, I've overlooked a lot of things, but, quote, if this guy is doing human trafficking, I'm through. All right, now to be fair, Tim, and much respect, Tim, thank you for making that phone call. And I appreciate what you had to say about the way I'm handling this. I want to say this. Nobody is accusing Bob Kraft of, quote, doing human trafficking. That's not what he's been charged with. He's been charged with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution. Nobody is accusing him of human trafficking. He was caught up in a larger investigation that involved human trafficking. Do you understand? There is a difference. He was caught up in a sting or an investigation, a larger investigation which involved human trafficking. So what Tim just said is not accurate. He wasn't, quote, doing human trafficking. But I can understand. Look, I like where your heart's at. It's infuriating. It's disgusting. It's revolting. The phrase, human trafficking. But my point was, what I said was, rich folks, privileged folks, beat a lot of raps. They get over. And what may be reported right now may, in fact, ultimately come back and we find out it's inaccurate. I am saying, if you're charged with a couple of counts of solicitation, that's never a good thing. And if your name is anywhere near the phrase human trafficking, that's really not a good thing. But I'm not suggesting that he was, quote, caught up in human trafficking. I'm suggesting he was caught up in a larger investigation of human trafficking. This is why these topics are very sensitive and kind of tough to go at. But that was a Patriot fan who was really upset. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. If you can't get through, or if you just want to tweet me a response, go ahead and do that. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. If you want to email me a response, go ahead and do that. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If this is not a topic that really interests you and you want to go someplace else, that's fine too. Notice I'm not clearing the board. I'm not saying we're not talking about anything else. I'm saying this is your lead story. So do what you want with it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matt in Vancouver. Matt in Van. Hey, Matt, what's up? How are you?
What's going on, Romy?
What's up?
Kraft wasn't doing any human trafficking, man. He was just burning some of that Kraft dinner money. But anyway, Rome, that loser Dan in Denver is back. Just bags all over Twitter yesterday, high-fiving himself for ripping another golden ticket. I haven't seen this kind of celebration of mediocrity since Jason Garrett's last contract extension. Let's go down the Dan in Denver timeline. Smack off 23. Dan flames out, gets run, and bitches about it for 6 months. Leading up to Smack Off 24, Dan miraculously wins another golden ticket during the same show that you, Romy, called him a bottom feeder. Days later, in what can only be described as the most cowardly act in jungle history, Dan calls you to hand you back that exact golden ticket. I don't know what Americans call that, but up here we call that kind of guy a punk bitch. The only memorable thing Dan has done in the last year is get his ass knocked out by my guy Big Daddy Beak in Studio City with a truck stop hooker bum sex blast. Danny, stick to cute undercard smack with my guy Nooch and Cal while my guy Fluke and Fort Collins warms up that smacky choppa, and I'll dog walk your blue collar comedy tour ass back to the minor leagues. You happy now, bitch?
I don't know if he is, but I am. Matt in Vancouver, go ahead and rack him. I think my favorite part of that call was him tipping his hat to Big Daddy Beaks in Studio City. It's so good. Beaks getting some love. Big Daddy Beaks. Old school Beaks in the 818 Studio City. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so that was off topic. That's fine. That works. Also, it's Friday, so we've got the week that was. Alvy's week that was coming up a little bit later on. In fact, I was reading some liners for CBS Sports Radio promoting Alvy's week that was. That's how big that thing is now. Alvy's week that was is being promoted on the network. Exactly. When you hear that, that's what's up. Alvy's week that was, that's what's up. All right, still ahead. Lakers coming back. LeBron. You know, I got to be honest. I didn't know, given his age, given his miles, given the fact that he had that groin injury, given what he's dealt with this year, I didn't know that guy had that game in him. And the best part of all about LeBron showing up the way he did last night, and especially when they fell behind by 19. On Wednesday, LeBron had said, it's time to activate. It seemed like one of those kind of baggy things to say. You know, like Tiger had to activate his glutes. And LeBron was saying, it's time to activate. Which is kind of a synonym for it's go time. It's that time of year. Except the guy did go out there and he did activate. It worked. So that's coming up too. Also, I thought that I would get to that off the board beef today. And I might in fact still get there. But the Kraft story is kind of changing a lot of things up. I may have an off the board beef. Not a jungle beef, but an off the board beef. That involves a couple of things that, a couple of groups, parties that you would have never expected. And one more thing about the NBA. Man, fear the freaking deer. Fear the freaking deer. Well, my man Don Nelson. Did you see the way this guy showed up? No way I don't get to Don Nelson. That I can promise. I will definitely get my take on Don Nelson a little bit later on today. Ben Golver is coming up later on this hour. Tony Loughman coming up next hour. And now a short timeout. As any coach or GM will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise that teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you do not have endless resources to find it. Luckily, you do have ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. And with ZipRecruiter, your one click sends you your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they do not stop there. They've got a powerful matching technology. It scans thousands of resumes. It finds people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your job. It is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through that site within the very first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. At this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome, 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 ZipRecruiter. It is the smartest way to hire, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Still tracking this Bob Kraft story. But again, it's a bigger story than Bob Kraft. There's some really disturbing details that do not include what we're talking about with Bob Kraft. And then there's the really salacious stuff that you want. Let me give you a detail from USA Today and Treasure Coast newspapers. If this is true, this is sickening. This is disgusting. Quote, women, many of them from China, lived in the spa and were not permitted to leave, according to Martin County Sheriff Will Snyder. You see why I'm not having a great time with this? You see why this is not a joke? You see why this is not something to laugh at? If that's true, that's part of a larger investigation. So we don't know if that applies to Kraft. We don't know if that applies to Kraft. But we're talking about a human trafficking ring. And according to that report, women, many of them from China, lived in the spa and were not allowed to leave. Meantime, Adam Schefter reports Robert Kraft is not the biggest name involved in all of this. Adam Schefter is reporting that. So what's a bigger name than Robert Kraft? I mean, I'm not going to irresponsibly speculate, but I think you could all kind of guess, right? How many people, how many names are bigger than Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots? Not many. And then some of you are trying to figure out geographically about what's going on. I'm looking at pictures of the spa itself. Let's see, NBC 10 Boston tweets. He's got a residence in nearby Palm Beach. I'm looking at the spa. You know, it looks something you see in a strip mall or something. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Meantime, a spokesperson for Kraft categorically denies that he took part in any illegal activity. And in the meantime, authorities apparently say that they've got videotape of an act. So if you want to talk about it, you know where to find me. Let's go to Pensacola. Again, I'm going to say, if you can elevate this conversation, I'm more than happy to take your telephone call. Let's go to Casey in Pensacola. Hey, Casey, how are you?
Romancy, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Hey, isn't Bob Kraft guilty of what we all do? Every time we take a girl out, we buy her dinner. We get her flowers. We treat her nice. You know, he's just trying to take the guesswork out if he's going to get lucky or not. He's just trying to get his balls deflated like Tom Brady did.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
No, that's not elevating the conversation. Bob Kraft is not trying to take the guesswork out of it. And football's being deflated has nothing to do with this. Let's not confuse, quote, trying to take the guesswork out of that with solicitation, Casey. No, that's not one and the same thing. And that whole notion that he's only doing what all of us do, I don't know, Casey. I would imagine that there's been a very, very small percentage, quote, of us that have been picked up for solicitation. All right, do I have to say the topic is off limits? Can any of you deal with this responsibly? Let's try another one. Let me try another one, and if this goes as badly as the ones before it have gone, I'm just going to move on. Let's go to Houston. Eric in Houston. Eric, nice to have you.
Listen to you since 1997. Thank you for giving me a Vine. Real quickly, clones, don't make it funny. I have nieces. I have aunties, I have a sister, and I have a mother. And Romy, what you said earlier, you always said sex is still undefeated. We understand that. And prostitution is the oldest profession in history of man, so we know this. Yeah, Kraft, we know he did solicit sex, but Robert Kraft is not what this issue is about. This is about the tragedy that is human trafficking and modern-day slavery. Now, keep in mind, influential, rich, powerful people, they use their lot in life to abuse, to rape, and to even kill these unfortunate people who, by circumstance of wanting a better life, are preyed upon by these wolves. Now, I'm glad he got caught. And I don't care about Robert Kraft. I don't care about him soliciting for sex. But because he got caught and he's so influential and so powerful, what will hopefully happen is a larger spotlight will be shined upon what is happening in the world, and that is human trafficking. And what is going on in these brothels, because they are taking advantage of these people who come and these people who are actually trying to give a better life, they're complicit in what it is they're doing. So this, for all intents and purposes, Romy, is monitored rape. That's what it is. Now, whether the Johns or the people that frequent those places are aware of this or not is neither here nor there. But the very fact that these people are taking advantage of these girls, these women, who are simply trying to better their lives, and they get taken advantage of the people that know them, it's an absolute shame. That's all I have. It's my first time calling, and I'm glad I didn't flame out. God bless you, clones, and God bless you, Romy.
Thank you, Eric, very much. Now, that did elevate the conversation. That elevated the conversation. That's exactly what I was looking for. Now, I know not all of you can do that, but at least treat it with some respect. Again, nobody is accusing Robert Kraft of human trafficking. I want to be clear about that. He was caught in a larger investigation that involved human trafficking. But to that caller's point, it's not about Kraft. It's about the bigger story here. He said, however, with a name like that, it's going to illuminate and shine the spotlight on the bigger story. Again, Kraft is not accused of human trafficking. He's caught in a larger investigation of human trafficking. But to that point, again, the detail from USA Today and Treasure Coast newspapers, if true, is utterly sickening. Women, many of them from China, lived in the spa and were not permitted to leave. Human trafficking. Again, that is part of a larger investigation. We do not know if that applies to Kraft. He may have just shown up a couple of times looking to solicit. Who knows what he knew? We need more information. His spokesperson categorically denies it. And then Adam Schefter reported he's not the biggest name. So if you're waiting for another shoe to drop, apparently one will. And I don't want to irresponsibly speculate, but I think we can all figure out who the bigger names are in the world than Bob Kraft. I don't want to go geographically on you and try to figure out who lives in the area, who frequents the area, who vacations in the area, who might be there, who might roll with Robert Kraft. I'm not going to sit here and say, it's a fun game. I like this game. Now, who's a bigger name than Bob Kraft? I think we can all speculate. I'm not going to do that on air. But I can say what Adam Schefter reported, that he is not the biggest name. 1-800-636-8686. If I were Kraft, I would not be firing open the Twitter app. Not when you look at what's trending right now in U.S. Robert Kraft, Bob Kraft, Patriots, National Margarita Day holding strong, Jupiter, Mr. Kraft. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of the top items in the U.S. right now. Then again, Tristan running around on Chloe had 6. So that tells you where your priorities are, right? Robert Kraft, Bob Kraft, Jupiter, Patriots, and then National Margarita Day. So the Kraft story holding down the top 4. And Mr. Kraft also a little bit lower. But National Margarita Day and Steve Irwin beat out Mr. Kraft. All right, when we come back, I'm going to change up. We'll get back to this topic. We're going to talk some NBA next with Ben Golver. That'll be good. In fact, we're going to go back to back. NBA, NHL. Ben Golver, Tony Loughman. Third hour includes Alvy's Week That Was. And I'm still looking for telephone calls. Stay tuned. Let's get to your bottom of the hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
clones. I'm not playing the speculation game. I'm not doing this. I know I can't stop you from doing it, but I'm not doing it. When Adam Schefter reports that Bob Kraft is not the biggest name, I'm not going to come out here, crack open the mic, and irresponsibly play that speculation game where I try and speculate on who's a bigger name. I'm not doing that. But it sure as hell isn't stopping you, clones. No names mentioned, Bon Jovi. I'm not doing that. But I know I can't stop you from doing that. I've tried. I'm just looking at TweetDeck. I'm not doing it. I'm sticking with what's been reported, and I'm reacting to what's been reported. All right? I'm trying to keep this thing on track. With that in mind, let's change up. We're going to talk some NBA. We're joined right now by a national NBA writer for The Washington Post, co-host of the Open Floor podcast. He is, in fact, a jungle legend. Fact. Ben Golliver joins me right now. My man, Ben, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. I'm glad you said we're going to change it up, because I thought you were about to put me on the spot and give, like, my top 10 names for who the bigger names could be, you know?
I'm not doing that, Ben. I'm not doing that. I mean, if you're a clone and you want to do that, I can't stop you, but I would not ask you that. That would not be responsible. You know, I'm not like that.
Yeah, it's a good way to get fired.
Yeah, right? Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you for understanding, Ben. Welcome to my freaking life, Ben. All right, so you cover the NBA. Let me start right here. It is a good way to get fired. Now, you cover the NBA, but you were in Durham on Wednesday night for UNC Duke. First off, what was the atmosphere like in Cameron Indoor before the game?
It's a religious experience. You know, it was my first trip there. It felt like a pilgrimage. The kids were crazy. I talked to this one girl. She said she'd been camping out since January 12th. And, you know, it's just like, okay, you're sleeping in a tent for a month to watch this game. I felt terrible for the students because Zion goes down early. Obviously, I feel terrible for Zion, too. But that atmosphere is unlike anything I've been. The only thing I can compare it to is like a World Cup soccer game. They were really, really turned up, not only for that rivalry game because it was the first Duke-Carolina game this season, but also for Obama. I mean, this guy, the love that he got from the student section and from everybody in the building was incredible. He's getting standing ovation as soon as he walked in, you know, 45 minutes before the tip. It was just a special night, special place to be, and it was just such a shame that, you know, Zion had to go down in the first, you know, 30 seconds.
You know, you're right. You set that up perfectly. So what was that like when he goes down in the first 30 seconds, given all the hype and all the interest and all the energy? What was it like in that building when he went down?
Well, I'll tell you this. I feel like a knee injury degenerate because I've blown my ACL and I watched all the Blazers go through their knee injuries. You know, Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, the list goes on. As soon as he went down, I was like, oh, it's a knee sprain. I spotted it from, you know, 75 feet away. I knew exactly what it was going to come out as. And, you know, the atmosphere, definitely the wind got sucked out of the building, but they rallied pretty well. And even though they were down basically the whole game, the crowd stayed into it. And so I was impressed by their focus. Obviously, there was a lot of concern, you know, from the Duke bench, from the Duke fans, or how serious is this? What exactly happened with the shoe? And that kind of took on its own life. But I think in the building, they were still focused on that game pretty much. You know, and they saw 30-plus from R.J. Barrett. You know, he tried to carry their offense, didn't really work that well. And I think there was some concern from them of, okay, what does it mean for their NCAA title hopes? I mean, it's the number one team in the country without the best player. It sounds like he dodged a bullet and could potentially get back on the court. And Coach K said afterwards that they're hoping to get him back, you know, within the relatively near future. But the timing for them is really tough with the ACC tournament right around the corner and obviously March Madness, too.
We're talking to Ben Golliver. He is a national NBA writer for The Washington Post. Now, Ben, you were in Charlotte for the All-Star weekend. What were guys in the NBA saying about Zion?
You know that he got game montage where they have all the famous coaches and the players, and they're all just saying, Jesus, 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 you know, from that Spike Lee movie?
Sure.
I mean, they could have filmed the sequel in Charlotte, Jim. I mean, I'm not even kidding. It was just Zion, Zion, Zion. I talked to Luka Doncic on Friday. He's going to be the Rookie of the Year. He's saying he can't wait to see Zion at the pros, and he thinks Zion's going to be next year's Rookie of the Year. Talked to the slam dunk contest on champion on Saturday night, Hamidou Diallo. The first thing he wants to say is, okay, well, let's see if Zion wants to be in next year in the slam dunk contest in 2020. And then you talk to these you know, these superstar-level players, whether it's LeBron or Steph Curry, and all they want to talk about is Zion's intangibles, his work ethic, his humble personality, how focused he is on basketball, and you know, how polished he is with the media. So he's getting, you know, big-time respect from those guys. And then all the conversations that are going on behind the scenes with executives. You know, one executive told me, if Zion was in the NBA right now, and on his team, he'd be worth 7 to 10 wins per season, like in a season this year. So, you know, that's possibly bumping a team up from the lottery into the playoff picture. That's the kind of impact they see from him. Another coach told me he'd rather have Zion on his team than Luka, just because of Zion's defensive versatility, his ability to just kind of cover ground and really lock in on that end. And then also the fact that you can use him with the ball rather than or off the ball, rather than just building your whole offense around him like we've seen Dallas do with Luka. So the praise was extraordinary. It was clear that they wish they could have got him in the NBA this season. And when you look at that injury, it kind of sets up that debate, right? It's like, should Zion ever have been in college? You know, by all accounts, he's having a great time at Duke. It seems like he's the big man on campus. He was loving life before the games and before the injury. But you could also just look at his talent, his body, his profile, and think, this guy looks like an NBA player, and that's certainly how the NBA views him.
Ben Golliver joining us right now. That praise is extraordinary. And for an NBA executive to say that he already would have been worth 7 or 8 or even 10 wins to us really says something about him. Now, one of the things, Ben, that's come up in the past, and certainly more so with the NFL, and it's just something you just touched on, if a player were to shut it down to protect himself, to get ready for that draft, some would see that as not wanting to compete. I mean, what do you make of that argument? And is there any reason to think that any NBA teams would view Zion that way if you were to make that decision?
I think the NBA kind of becomes so cynical to it. They understand it. Like, we've got guys, Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, you know, top 10 players shutting it down during the middle of seasons. You know, Kawhi last year, Anthony Davis, at stretches this year. So I think it's kind of become par for the course, unfortunately, in the NBA. Personally, I hate to see it. I love if guys are healthy, go out there and play. And I kind of feel like that's what Zion's about. I understand there's millions of dollars at stake and you don't want him to get re-injured and you want to, you know, take this thing very carefully. And I'm sure there's going to be people advising him to, just protect his body and protect his draft stock. But I'd love to see him back on the court. And I also think in general, this trend towards almost like in-season holdouts, like what Anthony Davis was sort of doing or Kawhi Leonard last year, you know, I think that's a bad look for the league as a whole. Adam Silver at All-Star Weekend really didn't seem to have too many answers here. I mean, his main statement was just, look, if you're going to request a trade, try to do it behind closed doors. Don't make a big fuss out of it. And I think, you know, basically the implication there is, you know, we expect you to be on the court. And I know he directed the Pelicans in the case of Anthony Davis to basically have to keep playing Anthony Davis, and we'll see how many minutes he gets and all of those things. But I think fundamentally, if the league is going to work right, if they want to continue to grow the revenue like the players want and to have the opportunity to sign these huge max deals that these guys are, you know, capable of earning, guys have to be on the court. They have to be entertaining the fans. They have to be, you know, participating fully with their full heart in it. You know, not going out there like Anthony Davis did the other night and have 3 points and kind of going through the motions. You know, that's not going to sell tickets. That's not going to juice the TV ratings. That's not going to help the NBA keep growing as a league. And I think, you know, that mentality shift to me in the last couple of years has been a little bit damaging, you know, in terms of, hey, let's just, you know, take a week off, take a month off, you know, take half a season off if you need to improve your own individual standing. I don't think that's in the best interest of the NBA.
Ben Golliver joining us. He covers the NBA for the Washington Post. Ben, one more thought about Zion. Let me just go back to that so we can wrap that up too. What has to change in order for Zion or a player like him to be able to enter the NBA right out of high school?
Not much. I mean, they've been just dilly-dallying with it. Adam Silver said a couple of years ago, hey, this is the direction that we're going. Last summer, he said he was ready to make the move to lower the age limit from 19 to 18. I mean, that's really all it would take for Zion to be in the NBA right now. And now there's this formal proposal, apparently, that the NBA has presented the Players Association with to kind of, you know, make this rule, you know, the official stance kind of going forward. And I'm sure they'll phase that in a few years down the line. I just don't get why they drag their feet on it. I mean, it seemed to me like Silver has said he was studying the issue for a while and that he had reached his conclusion, you know, a year or two ago. I mean, just go ahead and do it. I think this is the direction that it's happening. There's going to be guys every single year. We see, you know, 1, 2, 3 guys who look like they're ready to make the leap. Obviously, the players have been, you know, kind of pushing for that because they feel like it's the most, you know, fair and just and equitable thing for, you know, a teenager, you know, maybe he's 18 years old, to be able to provide for his family and not have to risk injury at the NCAA level. So to me, it's coming. It's just a matter of the timing. And I really think the NBA probably deserves a little grief for the fact that it's taken this long to unfold.
Ben Golver joining me for another few moments. All right, so before you go, let me get your thoughts on the Lakers. They came back from 19 down in the third quarter to win last night. Given that earlier in the night they were losing to Houston and Sacramento, who's in the ninth spot, was beating Golden State, how important, Ben, was that win for L.A.?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, I feel like every win and every loss for the Lakers right now, that's a big loss. That's a big win. I mean, that was a huge win for them. They're trying to sneak back into that top eight. The Sacramento Kings, you know, they don't want to go away. I mean, it's going to be a fierce race down the stretch. I love that LeBron James came out and said, look, I'm going to activate this playoff mode. I'm going to do it. That is exactly the message that he needed to deliver after the last months of ugliness. I mean, keep in mind, they were basically trying to trade the whole team to New Orleans. The fans in Indiana are heckling Brandon Ingram, basically saying, you're trade bait. LeBron doesn't want you. Lonzo's been injured. Magic Johnson's going back and forth in all these like tampering allegations. Once again, the Pelicans fired Dell Demps, which kind of adds to the whole mystery of the story. Now you've got Anthony Davis, who's about to go on LeBron's TV show, The Shop, and obviously that's going to wind up being, you know, almost a distraction in and of itself. You know, at some point in all this drama, Jim, somebody has to step forward and lead that team, and there's only one person who could do it. It's LeBron. And I think he has a lot at stake. Like, if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, I don't think he's going to be viewed as the consensus best player in the league anymore. And I also think when you're looking at, you know, eight straight finals appearances in the Eastern Conference versus coming over to the West and immediately going to the lottery, I mean, that's a tough look, you know, for his legacy. And I know he's made statements like he has nothing left to prove, you know, that the finals and that championship in Cleveland kind of secured his legacy. And I think that's true. That doesn't mean he doesn't have anything at stake, because he's also trying to recruit all these free agents or set up these trades this summer, right? I mean, he's clearly got his eyes on Anthony Davis. There's going to be some other big-time free agents available this summer. Do you really want to go to the Lakers if you're a top-five guy, if they're not even in the playoff picture? Or do you start looking at some of these other scenarios and saying, hey, look, there's less dramatic organizations that are in better position to win right now. Why do I want to go deal with all that when I can, you know, look at some of these other teams? All these factors are at play for LeBron, and that's why I was so happy to hear him say that, you know, playoff mode is activated. It needs to be activated for the Lakers.
All right, so Ben, quickly, do you think it happens? As an example, Laker fans might say, yeah, well, leapfrogging the Kings and Clippers is no big deal, but given the schedule they have the rest of the way, how confident should Laker fans be?
I'd be nervous if I was a Lakers fan, but I think he's going to be able to get it done. I mean, I think in the back of his mind, if he looks at his team honestly, he doesn't need to be preparing his body for a deep run to the Western Conference Finals. You know, I mean, this team has just not gelled quite well enough. They haven't been consistent enough. They had some really nice flashes early in the season. But if I'm LeBron, I'm basically singularly focused on making the playoffs and really taking a hard swing at the team in the first round, whoever they would match up with. But, you know, if they get, you know, Oklahoma City or Golden State or one of those teams in the first round, I mean, I think that's going to be a pretty quick series, based on how the Lakers have performed this season. So he doesn't need to save himself, right? He can focus on, you know, treating the next 2 months like it's his playoffs.
He is a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He is the co-host of the Open Floor podcast, and he is a jungle legend. Very good friend of the program, Ben Golver, my guest. Great job, Ben. Thanks for doing that. Always good to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, man.
You got it, Ben. Well done. Yeah, I agree with him. I'm glad that he activated. It sounded like one of those kind of cheesy things that LeBron says. Yeah, I'm going to activate. Well, he did activate. They were down 19 against the Rockets in a game they had to have. Sacramento was beating Golden State. Sacramento is one of the teams the Lakers are looking up at. He had to activate, and he did activate. And I still have been trying to get to the actual take that I have on the Lakers. LeBron showing up the way he did last night after, quote, activation, and playing the minutes that he did last night, attacking the basket the way he did last night, throwing down the way he did with about 5.5 minutes left in last night's game, shows that he was fully activated. And what that did was it activated some of his teammates on both ends of the floor. Had to have it. I would say ordinarily, there is no such thing as a must-win game on February 21st, but if you're the LA Lakers, last night's game against the Houston Rockets was pretty damn close to a must-win game. Remember, they went into the All-Star break in the worst way possible by not getting Anthony Davis, by having their locker room implode, by getting humiliated by the Sixers in Philly, and then by somehow losing to the Hawks in Atlanta. Like, as bad as that 42-point beatdown against Indiana was, where they laid down, even that was not as humiliating as the loss to the Hawks in Atlanta. Alvin, do not convolute the take. Not that Hawk. The Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta.
The Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta.
What? All right, then, when we come back, Tony Loughman joins us. We'll talk some hockey with him. He works for MLB Network and NHL Network. On the other side, your phone calls, Alvy's Week That Was, the ATP, and more. Stay tuned.